The show you're about to hear is a member of the Plains Talkers Podcast Network. To find out more, go to PlainsTalkersPodcast.com. Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plains Talkers Podcast, the show by casual sport. You know what? You know what? We gotta stop. Who had 5 minutes? Who did? Who had 5 minutes?
Well, that was more like 5 seconds, dude. Come on.
Yes. If you're not watching the live feed, we've gotten our first YouTube bot. Like, I mean, we have gotten onto some sort of list. That's just beautiful. You know what? I could edit this out of the main broadcast. I'm keeping this in. This is staying. We're going to do this again. All right. You want to try this again?
All right. Go for it.
And we don't have to push red, so here we go. Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plains Talkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my favorite bot in YouTube, co-host Aramis Perez. Aramis, sir, how are you tonight?
I am not a bot. I am normal human being.
And to think, I was going to make a joke about football, but I mean, sometimes it just gives you what you need. So before we begin tonight, though, we'd like to remind you that this episode and every episode of the Plains Talkers Podcast is sponsored by Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys. With their clean, open gaming areas available to everyone, Kerwin's provides a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike. With locations in both Catskill, New York, and now on the second floor of the Poughkeepsie Gallery in Poughkeepsie, New York, Kerwin's Game Store is the absolute best place to go in gaming. They have an awesome website. You can find them at KGS Online. That stands for Kerwin's Game Store, or KiteGoSamuelOnline.com. And don't forget, you can get 5% off any online order when you use the promo code PlainsTalkers at checkout. Actually, I probably should check on that. Usually at the year rollover, we end up having to renew that. So I'll double check with them. But hey, if you're on there, try PlainsTalkers. If it don't work, let us know. And we also want to take a second to recognize our rare level patrons: Spencer, Chiba Tank, Nurse Gamer VJ, Bell, Levi, Jonathan, George, David, Brian, and Apollo. We also want to take a second to shout out our Mythic Rare patrons, Jake and Jonathan. And we cannot forget our producer, Jamie. And you know what? Because we're starting Season 4 tonight, I'm going to give a Season 4 shout out to our Mana and Uncommon level patrons, Jonathan, Harley, Kyle, and Mark. Listen, you peeps do so much for this show. We couldn't do it without you guys right now. Thank you so much for that, especially this time of year. I mean, the website comes up for renewal. The emails come up. Like, this is the big push this part of the year. So thank you so much for being patrons. You know, they get the main thing that patrons get from us is the chance to play with us on our Wednesday Commander Craft broadcast. So if you want to get in on that, plus the, you know, they get first slots for the Winnabox and all that stuff, just go to patreon.com/plainstalkers. Happy, oh. That's Pamela's bump music. Pamela was in the chat, so Pamela missed the better half of Perez. And So we want to remind you, too, that Commander Craft is our Wednesday night show where Aramis and I play listeners like you using webcams and four-player Commander. We are still looking for, I think, 2 challengers. I didn't put it out today because, you know, it was Monday and it was the first day back. Don't hate me. So if you're a patron, let me know inside the patron channel, inside Discord, if you want to play for Wednesday, and I'll try to put something out tonight. We are also proud to be the flagship podcast for the Plains Talkers network of podcasts. Our sister show, Cantrip Cartel, is launched. They're on Anchor at anchor.fm/Cantrip Cartel, and you can download them on most podcatchers. For more, hit them up on our Discord. They have a pretty nice little active sub-community there. And we're finally proud to announce that we have joined and become a part of the Geek to Geek Media Network. This is a very large, very, very diverse, and very cool, inclusive network of geeky podcasts dedicated to promoting positivity and inclusion, as well as just showcasing some great stuff that everybody likes. They have so many great podcasts. You've already heard a few of the people on this show. We've had Bama on. He's a Geek to Geeker. I've been on Kelly Hightower's Mating Habits of the Modern Geek. That's also a Geek to Geek podcast. So listen, you got to check it out. Just go to geektogeekmedia.com. And you can find a ton of really cool content to listen to. They do a lot with video games and a lot of that stuff. So, but, you know, we're still an untap. And so I am untapping still some Clown Shoes Space Cake Double IPA. It's leftover birthday beer. But Aramis Perez, sir, how in the hell are you tonight?
Well, if you subscribe to my website, what was it? Yeah, whatever the bots are saying, definitely yeah,
don't
go there.
Go there. I mean, do sure, not click. If you see a bot, if you see a lake, no, do not. Just don't do it. It you don't want to do it. It's not fun.
It'll be fun. A little malware never hurt anybody.
It hurts everybody.
I'm doing really well.
Happy New Year to you, sir. Did you have a good New Year's?
You know. Yeah, because it became 2022 and 2021 went
yeah,
away.
I'm sure that there's something to that.
Oh, I'm sure there is, too. I mean, you know, we're just waiting for the light at the end of the tunnel to be an oncoming freight train, I'm sure.
But we're staying positive and uplifting. In the meantime,
oh, yeah, positive and uplifting. You know, we're all just, you know, when we get hit by the train, it will be perfectly painless. The train won't feel a thing.
Oh, wow, you're in a dark mood, sir. Are you sure you don't want to have some of this lovely double IPA?
I got water. I'm good.
There's water in this. It's actually really well, the main ingredient.
Yeah, but then everything else tastes like a lead pipe.
Oh, that's amazing, actually. Oh, gosh. There's such good flavor.
So, but you know, New Year's went really well. You know, the other holidays went good.
Oh, I forgot to announce something else. Store.planestalkerspodcast.com. Go check that site out. You can get... Yeah, we got merch, man. And I changed it up, like you said. I took half of the stuff out, so... Now it just, you know, it just says Planestalker Podcast on the T-shirts. Surprisingly, what do we have? T-shirts, hoodies, and then coffee mug, and then a wine tumbler and a beer mug. Okay.
I think it's also like child-sized
T-shirts,
too.
Yeah, I got child-sized. Well, because I think we got to get one for, you know, your boy there. That's
must indoctrinate the progeny.
But it's pretty much like clothes and then things to hold booze. So... or coffee. But yeah, so check that out, store.planestalkerspodcast.com. I got to put that in the app thing. So yeah, New Year's went well, except for one thing. We cut the cord years ago. So, you know, what happened was the wife and the kids and I were watching Cobra Kai for a while, and then I stopped. I'm like, okay, it's 11:50. Let's switch over to watch the ball drop. So I find it on YouTube, and it's ABC, which is really funny because it wasn't New Year's Rockin' Eve. It was just an ABC, like, news. So they showed, like, somebody singing, and then where they would cut to Ryan Seacrest, they just kind of did crowd stuff. So I start, you know, like, hey, it's Ryan Seacrest. I'm an incredible guy. I'm awesome. You love me on American Idol. I'm Dick Clark's protege. Yes, I've had him frozen in my house. I did this whole thing. And we're getting down to the ball dropping. And it's 10, 9, and the feed cuts.
Nice.
So we're literally like, I is like, Happy New Year, everybody.
It's not an omen.
No, everything will be fine. There's nothing bad could happen. So how about you? How'd you spend your New Year's?
You know, I've made it a point to never travel on New Year's Eve. During the day, during the evening, nothing. We're home. So, you know, we bought appetizers and stuff the day before. So we had, you know, like pizza, you know, pepperoni bites. We had mozzarella sticks.
I should have come over to your house. We had
finger food. A lot of finger foods. My wife made a nice little punch with like, it's like fruit punch, 7-Up, and rainbow sherbet. Pretty tasty. We watched the ball drop. And then we do a tradition that my family did every year where we take a cup of water. And we go outside, and while we have the cup of water, we're thinking of all the negative things that happened last year, all the positive things we want to happen this year, and we toss the bottle, the cup of water out. And what that's supposed to symbolize is making room for all the good stuff by getting rid of all the bad stuff.
Wow. Wow.
So that's how we start every year.
Okay.
Yep.
That's interesting.
Yep. So we did that, and Alejandro made it this
nice.
Year. He made it. He made it to the ball drop this year. Last year, he lost his goddamn mind at 11:57. He was like, I want to go to bed. I don't want to stay up. We're like, okay, fine. You want to go to bed? Here you go. But this year he made it. This year I'm super proud of him. He made it. He stayed up till about 12:15, and then we put him to bed, and we're like, yeah, he's going to sleep till like 10 o'clock. Nope. Up at 6:30 like
he
always
awesome.
Is.
He
doesn't need an alarm clock. This kid's internal clock is so good. We have never had to worry about waking him up for school.
See, that's kind of neat. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, but it kind of sucks on the weekends when you want to sleep in, and he's like, it's 6:45. Let's do stuff. We're like, fuck.
So we, it's weird. You do this really cool, like, thing where you throw out the bad and you leave room for the good. I think that's fantastic. I, on the other hand, just throw up the bad, making room for more good. So, I mean, it's kind of the same thing, right?
Yeah, but the lining of my esophagus isn't slowly.
Mine was gone years ago. Joined Patreon, been forgetting that. Hey, Azami. All right. Thank you, buddy. Sweet.
Sweet.
Join the $20 tier. Make us happy. Now good night, guys.
Go to bed.
What are you doing? Wait. Azami, you're not a bot, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was great. Last week's call-in show was amazing. Guys, I'm sorry for the audio. Anyone who tried to listen to it afterwards, that was one of those things that I think was better live than, you know. Oh, he's Super Carrot. Oh, okay. Cool. Go to bed. I like Super Carrot. So, yes, a bot.
So, yes, a bot. Yeah. Completely.
We're probably talking about your deck in main, too, man. So we're very excited. You know, the call-in show last week went as well as I could expect. I do want to do it again sooner than later. I don't think I want to wait until, you know, 150. I think we'll probably do it again right around March-ish, maybe. Maybe a couple weeks after Kamigawa, we'll see what people are thinking. So, and we'll again, the mea culpa is on that. I didn't record locally, so I ended up having to use Twitch. And, well, I mean, the problem is Twitch lost an entire, like, I went to watch the broadcast. Twitch lost audio. I'm like, oh my God, you gotta be. So Discord, something. We're gonna figure something out with that. I'm beginning to wonder if the stage is the best answer. I may just throw people in the Zoom. You know, we pay for Zoom. We might as well.
Well, for those of you who were on the live
you
broadcast
had a
last week, it
you
was
probably
nice.
Had a blast. Yeah,
it was cool.
So let's tell you what's going on. We're going to go from Untapped to Upkeep. So main one tonight, we got State of Standard. Obviously, we're going to talk about the decks that are live and going good. Then we'll go into some news. We do have a little bit of news going on, and then we're going to end news with 2022 things we're excited for. So we're going to cite a few things that both Aramis and I are kind of jones to see. And then we'll go into combat, where we're going to kind of talk a little bit about Kamigawa. Main two, we're going to do a little bit of a deck tech. We'll see how much time we have left for that. And then I do want to talk about the winner box for Kamigawa. It's obviously going to come up to you guys more in the Discord and the patrons, but I kind of want to get that discussion going, because before you know it, we're going to be in preview season. So I'd really, really love to see that. 10 out of 10 would do the call-in show again. Adam Bomb. Awesome. That's awesome. All right. So let's go into main phase.
Main phase.
All right. Main phase. So State of Standard. The State of Standard is New York. No. State of Standard. Wow. So we've had some movement a little bit. Yeah, there's been some shifting, and I think it's more settling. I'm not surprised about this. Now, again, we use MTG Goldfish for the last 7 days.
Grain of salt.
So, and it's very interesting. So we have two sharing the top spot. You've got Mono Green Aggro and Is It Dragon. So, again, you've got the solo-colored aggro deck and the pseudo-control mid-rangey, you know, fence-sitting red and blue deck.
The Alrin's Epiphany flavor of the week.
So I haven't even seen a standard game in 8 years. Ah, one smooth criminal. Wow. Oof. Wow, that's ow.
Well, it was let's see, 8 years ago was, let's see, that's 2014. That's not Cons, is it? I think Cons was like 15, 16 around there, right? I think they said Cons was good. It was decent for a while. Then Throne of Eldraine happened. Lots of bad shit.
Well, Ixalan was really kind of bad.
Ixalan was underpowered, but it wasn't busted in half broken. Throne of Eldraine was the worst thing that the worst the game has ever seen since Affinity / Urza's Saga. As far as Bane's power level being right all over the goddamn place.
I mean, here's the thing. The professor had a very good point. He's like, we didn't have a ban last year. Like, I didn't even think about that.
No,
we
last year
we did not
have
a standard ban at all last year. Of course, the writing was kind of on the wall on that one, because they're like, no, we're going to use alchemy. Don't you worry.
Patiently awaiting for my
bubble. Oh, will you shut the frack up as soon as I see you? Damn. But yes, we have... You know what? I'm just going to send you a shirt. And... Hi, cat. Thank you for making noise in the background on my bro.
That was not
too
the deal.
That's the deal you're getting now, motherfucker. All right, so mono green aggro and Izzet Dragons right behind it, about 7 points. Mono white has done what it normally does. It falls off. I think people find the way around that, and it hangs around, but it's not. It's still amazing to me that mono.
It's not dropping off the face of the earth like it did the last time it showed up, where it was here for like 2 weeks and then just it was gone. Now it's stuck around for a few weeks, so I don't think it's necessarily going anywhere this time. I think for now it's just, I think mono green and Izzet have adjusted to it and they're more prepared for it. So Izzet and mono green are now currently busy beating the ever living crap out of each other.
And I think that's fantastic. What I'm really excited about is, okay, so it's 21, 21, and 14, but then it's 7.1, the number 4 deck, a newer type deck, Orzhov Clerics.
Yeah, I was looking at the deck
list. Like, this looks kind of different. So, yeah, it's got the Luminarch Aspirant, which is really the best. I think that's the best card in white right now, if not one of the best cards.
Well, it's kind of an aggro-y life gain / pod type of deck. It's got Pyre of Heroes. It's got some ways to recur things. It looks like it's trying to get value out of stuff being in the graveyard, like a little bit of recursion. It's got the life gain theme. It's got an Angel of Destiny as like an alternate win card.
Great.
Which
but
is kind of sweet.
It doesn't have the one that just came back, the angel that just came back, which I was very surprised at. The one I'm thinking, not Adeline, it's,
Lisa?
No, what's her face there? It just came out in this. I thought it started.
Oh, Sigarda?
It started with a V, I thought. Crap. My brain is fried, dude. It's Monday after a major league long weekend. But going on, I'm sure it'll come to me here. Thalia. It doesn't have Thalia in it.
Oh, that's not a cleric. This is cleric tribal. If you look at the creature types, every creature here is a cleric.
It does have aura. And somebody's using aura. Which aura we thought was going to be this really great card, but aura is the way that this deck is running. Aura is how this deck runs. Because they're like, yeah, go ahead and kill it. As long as you keep it in my graveyard.
Yeah, get it back, yeah.
Because he's only got...
I mean, Drawn to the Last
Bloodsheath.
He's only
got two other things, and neither one... Well, the Vampire Cleric, yeah. He's only got two other clerics that are higher CMC. So that's how the deck works. It's built around aura. He's got four of that, and then everything else is three or less. Other than Angel of Destiny and Drana. Wow, I liked it.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like he wants to, you know, if he's going to be casting Elite Spellbinders, sniping stuff out of your hand. Recurring it with either the Aura or the Drana. And like I said, Angel of Destiny is like an alternate win con. He's got a lot of life gain stuff. I mean, the Skyclave Apparition, there's only the one of, but he's like, I'm going to recur this like 5, 6, 7 times. Agadeem's Awakening to get a bunch of stuff back at the same time. Pyre of Heroes to kind of pod your way up to find Aura or the Angel of Destiny or Drana, depending on what you're going for. Cave of the Frost Dragon, if you have a hard time getting creatures down. It's an interesting concept. And like I said, with the life gain too, it's going to be harder for the aggressive decks to deal with it because the life total is constantly getting padded. The Righteous Valkyrie is going to keep gaining you life. If you get to 27 or more, your creatures get +2/+2. That makes it out of range of pretty much any burn spell.
I think this could go up a little higher. I don't know that it could beat Mono Green because Mono Green is so fast and so big. It's like, hi, I'm 900, you know, I'm swinging in for 900. You're like...
I mean, it's got Meat Hook Massacre in the sideboard. It's got some, I mean, it's got Vanishing Verse, which is good against mono green because it's all monocolor right. permanents. So I think there's options here. Another Skyclave Apparition. I mean, it's got a few different ways to exile creatures, but it's a lot of like pinpoint stuff. There's no real board wipes. And I'm wondering if maybe a board wipe in the board would be a little more advantageous to the deck in the sideboard. Because, I mean, Meathook Massacre would work, but I'm wondering if either adding more of those or something like Vanquish the Horde
you're
would
not
be
wrong.
Better suited. I don't know.
Yeah, even Undo Inversion. Like, just be like, everything goes away.
Maybe, yeah. The only other permanent you have is Pyre of Heroes. I suppose Undo, but that's 8 mana. There's no way to reduce the cost on that. And this deck seems still right. kind of aggressive. And an 8 mana spell seems kind of, ugh.
Maybe.
Because I think with what they're doing with Meathook Massacre, they want to make sure that it's however much it's going to be to kill your creatures and not theirs.
So I guess I'm wondering why he doesn't have Doomscar.
Probably for the same reason. He may want to protect his creatures a certain way, but I think a Doomscar might work. I mean, maybe instead of Crippling Fear, I think maybe what he's doing is his creatures aren't the chosen type, so that all of his board wipes are basically designed to be asymmetrical. So he's going to say, okay, I'm going to give anything that's not a cleric -3/-3. Obviously, all my guys are going to survive because they're clerics. Meathook Massacre, he's probably hoping to cast after the Raichu's Valkyrie is pumping his team already, and he'll pick something like 2 or 3 against like an aggro deck. So it kills all of your stuff, none of my stuff, and I can swing in for the kill.
And we had another bot. Has been removed. By Park Media, bot number 2. Yeah, I had to get rid of the cat. Yeah, Meathook Massacre is a $47 card. Wow.
Yeah, Meathook Massacre is a card.
Kinda wish I kind of do one. Too.
I think all the formats that it's legal in is seeing play. It's just fantastic.
I wonder why
card.
He's not putting like even Doomscar in here, like because you can foretell it.
You can, but like I said, I think he wants all his wraths to be asymmetrical, so he wants to hit your stuff and not his.
Wow. So yeah, that's kind of the state of standard right now. We do see one kind of moving up. There's some movement. There's some really cool stuff.
New kid on the block.
Smooth criminal. I is bot. Beep boop boop. All right. So that's kind of state of standard. Let's kind of pivot off of that into news because we did have some news this week. Now, we were going to talk a little bit about Star City Games, and they have some events coming. Here's the deal. I'm kind of leery of talking about events. Given that the Omicron variant seems to be on fire. Now, granted, if you're vaccinated, it's pretty much, okay. So, Annie, are you okay? Yes. Atom bomb. So definitely check out Star City Games. I mean, believe me, I thought if this was a year later, like, because I go now to New Jersey, which is literally, Marlton's like right across the bridge of Philadelphia. I'm like, I bet I can get work to bring me down there and pay for my hotel room. I'd be like, I will work in the office on Friday. Can I have a room? Because that'd have been, because then I would have brought you. Been like, yeah, you're going to work from home in New Jersey. But so they're having an event in February down there. So they've got some events. I don't know if they'll fire or not.
I think they will. I think because they're, it's a sort of a similar situation to what they did in Vegas with Channel Fireball. They're asking for vaccination and or, negative test. Obviously with Omicron that does
right
because
Omicron
things.
You can't wrap it.
Yeah, well, I mean, any rapid test. I mean, there's issues with the various testing methods because it all depends on when you get it, when you were potentially exposed. If you get the test the day of, I mean, still there's a chance that you're within the incubation period before you actually show up as positive. So I'm not a huge fan of having a negative test be. If they're going to be doing things like that, make that be a requirement for entry. I think it's like you're vaccinated or you're not going. But that's, that opens up its own can of issues because in the end, obviously, Star City Games wants people to be safe, but they also want to maximize attendance, which it's so hard to balance.
Bot
that.
Number 3, those of you keep it scored home.
Oh, going
damn
for a record
it, I am
going
to have to turn off commenting on YouTube.
Yeah. But like you were saying, they expanded it. They've added some new locations later in the year. So I think at that point we'll be past the peak of the surge for Omicron. Hopefully the pi variant doesn't show up by then. And I wish I was.
There's
joking.
A pi variant?
I'm not. If another variant shows up that they determine to be of concern, that's the next Greek letter.
Oh, come on.
It's pi.
Well, you know what? I'm not rooting for COVID, but how cool would it be if pi is discovered on March 14th? I'm just saying. Okay.
there's only so many letters left in the Greek alphabet, and depending on what geekdom you're into, two of those letters are very terrifying. If you like Mega Man, the Sigma variant is going to be really bad. If you like Star Trek, there's the Omega variant.
Yes, and don't forget the Kobayashi Maru variant. So anyway, so we were going to talk about that, but we kind of, you know, we're touching on that. Really, the biggest news that came out this week, and by the way, we're not going to go over the Kamigawa previews. They've been out now for 2 weeks. You should find those, you know, but to tell you the truth, I want to wait until preview season really goes on that. Some of that stuff is great, but it's also so narrow that I feel like we could be spinning our wheels on discussing things, and then, you know, we get a bigger view of the set and realize we were idiots.
Which is to say that we're not going to be talking about Kamigawa.
No, we're definitely going to be talking about Kamigawa tonight. But the big news came out, too, that William Huey Jensen is going to step down from competitive play, you know, right before they stopped doing competitive play. Yeah. I decided to leave right after I was kicked out. And he's going to go work for WotC as the director of play programs. So that's, on one hand, I feel good about that. I'm waiting on the Bahamut version.
Bahamut, yeah, that's Final Fantasy. Big dragon.
Very good, very good. So it's kind of talked about. I found an article here. Well, actually, Ketchup Cartel for the win. They came in clutch and sent the article from MTG Rocks, and somebody out there found the job description for what this is, because he's going to be the director of play programs. And on one hand, that sounded, I was like, I got to admit, I was skeptical, because I'm like, okay, so he's like getting off the ship before it sinks. I get that. You know, I'm going to stop doing competitive play right before we no longer have it. And but it turns out that I guess this position, WotC is kind of looking to this to kind of, well, it says, we're seeking a director of play programs to oversee the full range of play programs. By the way, when you're writing a job description, you can't say the same word twice in the same sentence. Director of play programs to oversee the full range of play programs that Magic offers. That's redundant.
Well, I mean, it's part of the job.
Yeah, I know.
Title,
that's so. I still am like,
you can't really.
Yeah,
get
you can.
That.
We are seeking a director of play programs to oversee the full range of competitive offerings that Magic can do. Something to that.
Well, yeah, but it's not all. It's not
yeah,
all competitive.
But there are ways around it. That was lazy. That was lazy writing. There's no way around that. Lazy writing. So
blame WotC HR.
In fact, I'm gonna call my friend Layla, because she's a lawyer. I want to tell her. All right. So ranging from high level retention focused competitions to acquisition focused new suites of social and casual play. One of those sounds great. One of those scares the living hell out of me. I don't like the idea of acquisition-focused new suites of social and casual play, because you're already cutting one of your games out.
No, that's corporate hire speak for get new players into the game.
No, screw it. Yeah. We don't need more players. We've got enough. You know what? You can come when I die. You'll manage a group of play specialists and work with larger teams of product designers, game designers, and our sales and marketing groups to ensure these programs are executed fantastically and hitting the right goals and metrics for growth and retention. The ideal candidate has a great knowledge of whatever. So,
blah, 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 blah.
So it sounds like what he's going to be responsible for is trying to find new and exciting ways to engage the player base.
He has been anointed as the Messiah to rescue competitive play from the ashes of destruction that WotC left it in.
Hasbro. I'm going to say, still going to throw this at Hasbro's feet.
Hasbro slash WotC. But he is now the guy. He is the guy who is going to be in charge of bringing back competitive play. He is the guy that it's, no matter what happens, it's either going to be his fault or his fault.
Right. It does.
Which sucks. But at the same time, it's awesome.
A lot of people are saying that he's kind of like the savior of competitive. Nowhere in here does it say competitive. It does infer it, you know.
It's competitive. It's competitive.
It's like high-level retention-focused competitions. So that sounds like competitive play.
That is competitive play, yeah.
I still can't help but wonder if WotC itself is going to get out of it and leave it to... And again, I'm all for that. Let Star City Games and Channel Fireball run your events. Dear Lord, please. You know,
well, that may still be where this ends up. I mean, but what his hire? I mean, this the overall like at least the Twitter community or the Reddit that I've read, or people that I've seen that have been talking about this, they all think this is a really good hire. They think he's a good fit for the position. They think that they're happy that they hired somebody outside of Wizards to do this. I think that somebody made a good point, which. Somebody countered with another good point, but they're basically saying it's great to see him in the position. It's a shame that he'll never be able to take advantage of the fruits of his labor if it works. But then someone came up with a quote basically from someone that said how great people never get to see the trees that they plant, but it's the fact that they planted the tree in the first place. It was really a nice deep philosophical quote. But I like the hire. I think Baby Huey is going to do a good job with this. Like I said, the unfortunate thing is that it's going to be on him. Whatever comes out of this, it's going to be on him. And to what Park Mania is mentioning, how long is it going to take him to get up to speed? I imagine they're going to want him to hit the ground running because they have been absolute crickets when it comes to the future of competitive play. And it's not like nobody's been asking. So, you know, he's got a lot. He's got a big responsibility. I don't envy his position. I am glad that he's taken it on because I think it had to be somebody with a competitive background who knows how this system works from that side of it. And I think he obviously has some good ideas because WotC liked whatever he told him in his interviews.
Well, my thinking is, pull my earplug up. Here's the thing: I'm not so sure that competitive for us means what it does to WotC anymore. My concern is this, because everything that we've heard about up until now is they want to move away from organized competitive play and move it much towards, when I say organized, I mean nationwide, pro tour, the way we describe competitive play. Now, I'm not so sure they don't still want it to be regional. And that's the thing. That's the thing that not so much scares me or makes me upset, because I think that regional play is fine. And I think it's a good thing because I think you and I have a much better chance of becoming regional champion of Albany or whatever, you far more than me, than we do making a run to the Pro Tour. But, yeah.
Well, here's the thing you have to keep in mind, though, too, is that when you've been describing competitive play, you've been keeping it on a national level. Basically, you know, United States, Canada. There's no Channel Fireball or Star City Games in Brazil. There's nothing like that in Europe, as far as I can tell, or Asia. They need a global presence for professional, well, not professional, but for competitive play.
True, but they can do that with
Star
Arena.
City Games
and that's just it. We're not...
But Arena's not available in every region either. So Star City and Channel Fireball and Arena aren't the answer. So I think what this tells me, this is something I was kind of hoping to see. What this tells me is that Wizards, yes, they may give Channel Fireball and Star City Games a much bigger share of the North American or at least United States share of that pie. But I think globally, they're still going to be the ones calling the shots and getting things organized because there's no infrastructure like that in place, as far as I'm aware of, around the rest of the world. There's no big, huge store that does this kind of... Maybe Hariyua, if I'm even saying that correctly. But in Asia, there's the one big store. But I think this tells me that competitive play will still be under WotC / Hasbro's umbrella. Whether or not that's a good thing remains to be seen. I would like to be cautiously optimistic, but obviously the past few years have kind of jaded my opinion on that. But I feel like they had to make a move.
They did. And again, I don't want to be negative. I'm not king negative here. I am just, you know...
Well, you've
we
been
have,
burned.
And that's just it.
You've been burnt. We've been burned so many times. I can completely understand where you're coming from with this. And I think it's justified that you have these concerns, because we look at WotC's track record over the past few years as far as competitive play is concerned, and they've really screwed the pooch. So
a couple of times,
them bringing in someone like at least once, five,
Team
ten,
times,
anyway.
Yes.
But bringing someone in like Huey, I think is fantastic.
I do too.
I think this sort of re-energized people's hopes a little bit. Here's hoping they don't get crushed. Like I said, I'm trying not to put too many eggs in that basket, but this is a very nice thing to see.
Interesting. So Smooth Criminals say they need, in my opinion, they need to split up the country with the biggest massive store in area like it's NCAA, with local stores, large stores being colleges that ship people up and then they get to go to the Pro Tour like it's a Super Bowl, Rose Bowl. That's
Not every area in the country.
On one hand,
that.
Yes. On one hand, I can get behind that. They're not wrong. I don't know if Smooth is boy, girl, but
if those stores were already there and that system was kind of already in place, I'd be totally behind something like that. I don't think that's a bad idea.
The professor kind of talked about it a little bit. I think Watsi's premier stores.
It's impossible to become.
Yeah,
a
well,
store.
Not just that. What they do is so, but that would be how they do it. Okay, if they were going to do this, they would do it where it's the premier store that's going to have the best chance to get that type of stuff. And there aren't many around. I'm a he. Okay, very good. So there's not many around.
Yeah, because like if you're a Magic player in, I don't know, Wyoming.
Like,
where's your closest premier store?
Or Yellowstone, Montana, which is a great show, by the way. You all should watch it. And it's
you shouldn't have to travel 500 miles for a PTQ.
So I do like that idea in some regard, and I think that's what we had. We had that. That was
kinda
what the regional RPTQ was about. Was about you do a PTQ and then you go to an RTP or RPTQ, and then or it was like a PPTQ and then a.
That was already
kind
of
XML,
before that system, it was just there's this Pro Tour coming up in Tokyo, and here's the qualifiers for that Pro Tour. Or if you go to this Grand Prix, the top eight get a qualification for this Pro Tour. You know, it was like a super
and
PTQ, basically what Grand Prix used to be.
And I think what we're going to see too is that you and I are sitting here and we're talking about this from a paper perspective. My concern is that, as much as Hasbro loves printing paper because, hey, money, they are more of a 50-50 at this point as far as paper and arena. And that this role...
I still think the pandemic has a lot to do with that.
I don't think it has as much as you think because it's free money. All they have to do is pay the pro. Pay the programmer. And once it's programmed,
pay the program.
And
what
then once the once the game is programmed, and once you have all that stuff in there, it's repeatable. So now all I'm doing is putting these cards into this database. Now it's just ka-ching, 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 because you're buying, gems to be able to crack packs. Da da da. They love Arena far more because the cost versus profit margin is out of this world. However, they now know. I think they also know that without cards, you have no arena. If
that's
it's
going to
be synergistic,
and again,
you cannot become Hearthstone. You will if you get rid of the cards, you're just Hearthstone's little brother. And
it also reiterates my point that not every region in the world has access to arena.
Valid point. So, I'm excited for this. I'm excited for him. I'm hopeful, but I'm cautious. Again, I'm not trying to be negative. I'm cautious. It's how I felt at the start of Revenge of the Sith. I'd been burned twice. Okay. I was the king of downloading that stupid Phantom Menace trailer to my computer over dial-up so I could watch it 250 times the day it came out in January of 99. And then, I watched it and watched it and watched it. And then I got to the theater and I was like, the first time I'm like, it's Star Wars. It's amazing. This is so cool. And I went and saw it the second time. And then I was like, oh, dear God, what the hell was I talking about? And then you go see Attack of the Clones and you're like, okay, wait, who is this guy? He's cardboard. Why is he trying to act? Oh, dear Lord, I can't breathe. What? And then Revenge of the Sith, I was scared. I was legitimately scared. I kind of feel that way now. I'm cautiously optimistic, but who knows? So let's put...
I think we're both cautiously optimistic, but sort of from different angles.
So let's pivot off of that. I kind of really want to leave us in a positive light before we go to combat. Let's talk about the 2022 things we're excited for. Because there is reason to be excited for this year. I'm going to let you start this because I've got thoughts, but... what are you thinking? What are you mostly excited for this year?
If I had to pick one thing that I'm the most excited for, I think it would probably be The Brothers War.
Son of a bitch. Yeah. No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, I know. I probably stole it from you. And I think the reason for that is because I was originally an older player of the game. You know, I started playing around 4th edition, Alliances, Ice Age, around there. And The Brothers War was always this big, huge thing that was, you know, they talked about it a little bit. The Urza block kind of touched on it a little bit. Antiquities touched on it a little bit. It was sprinkled in here and there through other sets about The Brothers War, Urza and Mishra, and all that stuff going on. But we've never actually seen how it started, what happened. I mean, unless you read the novels, which I didn't. But it's never been in a set really fully fleshed out. And I have a couple of gut feelings about the set. I think for one, I think we're finally going to see, Urza as a planeswalker. And I'll be curious to see what they do because planeswalkers back then were basically gods. I think we'll get a real legit, I mean, we got a Mishra card in, I think, what was it, Planar Chaos? I think we'll get another one here.
Fourth spot for those of you keeping score at home.
All right. I think that the Brothers War, I have a feeling that this is where we're going to start cranking up the power level again. Because if you think about it, the Brothers War, I mean, there was all kinds of weird bullshit going on during that. So I would not be surprised if that's where they started to sort of turn the dial back towards a little bit of crazy. I don't know how far they'll go. I don't know if they'll go all the way to Throne of Eldraine. Part of me hopes they don't. Part of me kind of hopes they do. I don't know. It's always interesting when things get crazy. But that's I think, the biggest thing that I'm looking forward to is the Brothers War at the end of the year.
You think they can't Urza shattered Gaia's Cradle? They cannot create another Gaia's Cradle. All right.
He blew up a whole continent.
I think for me, if I'm looking at this year, all right, 2022, Future of Magic this year, similar to you, it's kind of a release. I'm really looking forward to the Fortnite Universes Beyond. I find that to be just so exciting. And, you know, no, I'm kidding. I'm joking. Nobody's looking forward to that. no, I'm really looking forward to, I think, even more than the Brothers War, which has a lot. Dominaria United. Okay, that's gonna bring on rotation. It's the 30th anniversary. You got to figure we're going to get another Teffy. You got to figure we're going to see. I think this is how they're going to bring back Phyrexia somehow. Yeah.
Well, yeah. They've been mentioning for the Phyrexians, and I think Dominaria United is probably the beginning of the next invasion.
So I'm really looking forward to Dominaria United. I think.
You know what? I'm sorry. I just thought of this. I bet what they're going to do as far as the story. I think they're going to cliffhanger us.
Okay.
They're going to have Dominaria United. They're going to have the beginning of the invasion in Dominaria United.
And then tell the story of the Brothers War.
Then they're going to go to the Brothers War, leave you hanging for four or five months, and then go on to the next set where there's actually a war.
Because I think Dominaria United is going to... It's got the possibility of really upping power level of... You know, because I think... All right. Yeah, they had to roll power level back because of Eldraine. It's to the point now, though, where I kind of want to see them put... I kind of want them to find this middle ground. I think Jin Kataxis will be in Kamigawa. Wow, hot take by Atom Bomb.
Well, there's leaky stuff around that, so...
So, Jesus, Jin Kataxis and freaking Standard.
Vorinclex was there, so he's still here.
I am very much... Wow, bot number five. Jeepers. Yeah, I've got to turn off. I got to turn it off. I got to turn off commenting on YouTube. I'm going to have to. And that sucks. 5 golden pots. I'm looking forward to that. I got to be honest with you. I have to figure somewhere around Dominaria United is probably when they're going to drop MH2 to throw some, or Double Masters 2 to throw some really good. You know, they're not doing a Magic 30, you know, like they did with 25. So I can see them start throwing some really good stuff into Double Masters. I'm hopeful anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, yeah, we have way too much product again this year. It's we're in a night.
Did they kind of say?
What's that? They didn't say when it's coming. February.
Not necessarily.
No,
I don't think. I think Double Masters 2. I think that's 2023.
No, it's because it's called Double Masters 2022, quarter three. So
okay,
yeah, Q3. And Q3 is also when Dominaria United, and it makes sense. They did this. They did it there. You know, in 25, they put Dominaria out, and they also threw us, you know, Magic 25. In fact, that's kind of when they really started. 4 Angry Wills, 3 Aramis Teals, 2 Islands, 1 Zakama Summon. Wow. Okay,
I like
you
that.
Would. I don't cry. Hey, oh, no, Angry Will.
I think Zakama's kind of become like the mascot of the podcast.
Just don't even start. He has not become the mascot of the fracking podcast.
She, first of all, don't misgender Zakama.
You know
she will eat you.
She's got bigger balls than I do. And so that being said, I you know what? There is still some hope from 2022. Don't get me wrong. There are going to be some misfires.
2022 looks fantastic.
Feature.
Well,
yeah,
other than that,
you know, Unfinity. But I think, you know, in the Universes Beyond stuff, yeah, it is what it is. It's not going anywhere. It's
going to
be here a while. But let's pause for a second for some identification here, and then we'll go into combat. So,
when toxic culture has you down.
When you're just looking to laugh and have fun.
Kick back and enjoy watching a video game.
Or just make some new friends.
It's time to visit the Geek to Geek Media Network,
a community of podcasters, streamers, and bloggers.
Well, more of a family than a community.
All dedicated to geeking out about the things we love. Things like
video games,
Star Wars,
comics,
movies,
K-pop,
Disney Plus,
Keanu Reeves,
new,
or whatever our community decides is the next best thing.
That's right. We have a great online community on Slack and Discord where we chat about our weekly geekery with listeners and viewers.
And each other.
Yep, and each other in real time. And we can't wait for you to join us.
So come check us out at geek2geekmedia.com.
And escape toxic fandom for something much more...
Keanu?
Yes, Keanu.
I like that. I still like that so much.
Combat phase. All right. So we talked about 2022. One of the things we didn't mention was Kamigawa. And we're probably going to have to move the deck tech to another time. We've been talking about it on Discord, so I'm going to call an audible. We're just going to remove that because we're getting to 48 minutes. Kamigawa. The question my friend presented tonight is this on brand?
Well, I think that depends on. It kind of depends on how you're looking at it. I think it kind of is. Here's the thing. They did a very nice job with explaining why the look of the set is what it is. It's very sci-fi, cyberpunk, sort of like Akira, Neo Tokyo type of thing. They explicitly stated that the original Kamigawa block took place like 2,000 years in the past. And that a lot of shit can happen in 2,000 years as far as technology and things evolving. I mean, you look at our society. Look how much things have changed from, you know, the time of the Romans to now as far as technology is concerned. The stuff that we're doing now would be straight up magic to them. I mean, absolute fucking witchcrafty stuff. It's like, what do you mean you have all the information you want in the palm of your hand? Yeah, I do, but I rather watch cat videos. What's a video?
Nuked so hard.
But
But I think it fits in that regard, because they're saying story-wise, look, a lot of time has passed. Obviously, technology moves on. This is where Kamigawa is now, and you know, other planes may not have caught up to that. I can sort of see the other side of the coin, where, you know, I don't want sci-fi in my magic. You know, it's like somebody pissing in your Cheerios. You know, this is supposed to be fantasy setting, D&D, Lord of the Rings, you know, swords and sorcery all day, every day. We want all the water to be unclean and everyone to die of malaria by the time they're 12.
Okay, that's dark.
But overall, I think it's definitely a bold direction. But I think overall that it's not necessarily a bad one. I think it's a risk that is worth taking. And with everything else that they've done recently, as far as like the way the sets look and the way they're presented, maybe not mechanically, but the way they look and the way they're presented, the artwork and just the overall feel of the set, they've been knocking it out of the park for the last couple of years. And I have no doubt that they're going to continue to do this. So I'm all for it.
I don't know. I look at Kamigawa as the universe is beyond, but it's mad. They're doing their own content for it.
It's kind of like Ghost in the Shell magic.
I'm not really an anime guy. It's tough. I mean, I like what I like. I loved Voltron. I loved Robotech. I loved 80s, like, cheesy anime. And then, you know, I discovered, you know, girls, and, you know, that stuff changed. But there's still good anime. I'm saying that just because if my oldest son ever listens to this, I just want to, because he's like king anime. That being said, no, I don't believe this is on flavor for Magic the Gathering. I really don't. I think they're trying to have their cake and eat it too. I think somewhere along the line, somebody said, I wish we could do cyberpunk or sci-fi. And somebody was like, you can't ever do that. The podcasts will hate you, and you will be evil, and you will have to hide your mother and the whole nine. So then somebody else was like, well, what if we went to Kamigawa, which it would fit, cyberpunk and anime type of stuff. You know, go from Shogun and Samurai to anime. Because in some regards, let's be honest a little bit too. I mean, Kamigawa original was kind of racially... It really walked a line. I mean, it's a little troublesome now.
Well, in that regard, it still kind of fits that trope. You know, when a lot of Western cultures think of like futuristic cyberpunky thing, they think of like Japan.
This sort of
fits that little niche right there. I can see that, and I can definitely understand that.
Right, and that's kind of part of it. It's not that I don't like it. It's just I look at it and I go, you know, and like we had this conversation last week. I think Lord of the Rings is more on brand than Kamigawa's cyberpunk. And I get it. Mm. I get people are going to look at me like I'm freaking crazy. But to me, Lord of the Rings is high fantasy, which is what Magic kind of started out being, was high fantasy. And over time, I mean, they've kind of played it out. Okay, it's been 30 years. How many times can you print Liliana of the Veil? How many times can you print, you know, Cultivate? I get it. Okay, I can get behind that. But on the other side, Kamigawa cyberpunk to me just screams a little bit of it, and I get it, and it's not a negative thing per se, but I think that's what happened. I think they sat in a design meeting and somebody, probably Morrow, was like, I want to do sci-fi stuff because we just got done doing fairy tale stuff. And I mean, he talks about how he fought for fairy tales for Eldraine for so long. And, you know, the fact that there were knights in Eldraine was how he managed to get the upper people at Wizards to allow him to do it. So,
well, it was sort of a match between fairy tales and King Arthur's court.
So I get it. But I wish, I kind of wish they'd just gone back to Kamigawa and left the sci-fi element alone. But I can get behind it. I can get behind it. I'm going to enjoy the set. I'm sure I'll play the set. But my thinking is that, no, it's not really on brand other than the name of Kamigawa. You know,
like, because I think the one problem with that is that it would be fine to just, you know, go back to Kamigawa and just have, you know, things advance. But it's like, you know, again, 2,000 years is a long time.
Well, I mean, and then you look at the next thing coming up with New Capenna, and you're like, oh, shit, now we're doing mafia movies? Like, what? Are we out of ideas at this point? Have we just run the fantasy gambit? Just, we're like, we're done. We can't come up with anything original.
Well, I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm gonna be honest with you. I saw the pictures for New Capenna. I saw like the word mark, like the logo, and like there was a part of me that was like, this is the fucking coolest thing ever.
Don't get me wrong. But then again, I like mafia. Like, I mean, you're talking to somebody who could recite parts of The Godfather, who has done rewatches of Sopranos. I mean, if you guys are patrons and you listen to the Ride Home with Will, I do a retrospective on The Sopranos because, holy crap, did I love that show. So, and Book of Boba Fett's coming out this week.
I want to see how they pull off Ob Nixilis in a pinstripe suit.
I do. Well, if you ever read Green Arrow's, when they brought Green Arrow Quiver back, there was, or it's like the second story or whatever, they took this like demon and named Sabak. And he was basically a Russian mobster, and they kept putting him in suits. It's hysterical. It was done for laughs, and it worked. So it was actually being written by Kevin Smith.
I am a little surprised that they went to mobster world before they went to Western world.
Have we seen a Western world yet?
No, and people. That's one of the next most highly requested one is like a West, like spaghetti Western type.
What the hell?
What
the world? They would have to use one of our worlds for it. What would you do?
Not necessarily.
You know where they put it. You know where they put it. Ixalan.
Where?
It's desert. It's desert. No. It's desert.
No, that's tropical. Oh, okay. No, that's tropical.
Amaket. That's
desert.
What I meant. Amaket.
But that's
yeah.
Egypt.
Yeah, but Egypt then grows up, and you can make a spaghetti. Mm-hmm. Oh, you watch, sir. You watch. It'll be on.
I doubt it. I highly doubt it. I don't think Hazoret would let that happen.
So that's kind of it. Combat, I feel like I won. That Kamigawa is not on brand, and that's mostly because I'm in charge. So Dark Steel Western, yes. No, I'm kidding. But let's go ahead and go to main two.
Main phase.
So main two. Now again, we will do the deck tech next week. Or we'll do some more. So, guys, go to our Discord if you want some of our help, or send us email. But, I mean, you kind of tore his deck apart already. I mean, the deck tech would be, you know, you kind of said everything you needed to say with that, right?
I mean, for the most part, yeah. I mean, it's we would kind of be rehashing things that's already
Discord. So definitely go check our Discord out. It's a channel under the general area called Deck Help. And so Aramis and Super Carrot have just been in long discussions on it. Super Carrot builds these. I love it. He builds these like ridiculous decks, and he's like, no, I want to play on Commander Craft. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I would rather have a root canal with absolutely no numbing.
Well, I mean, interestingly enough, I mean, I'm gonna throw it out there. He shared with us a, I guess, a formula that his playgroup uses to determine the power level.
I looked
level.
At that formula, dude, and I literally thought to myself, and I think I put it in there as a GIF, but I'm like, I have no idea what any of that means. I've looked at that. Yep, I'm going to send this to my son. I am going to send, because he's like my science guru. He'll look at it and go, I can make this.
Yep. So it'll be in the Discord if you want to find it, but it basically it shows like, you know, however many ramp cards under a certain mana cost, what the total mana value is of the deck, blah 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 blah, number
it's
of tutors.
It's so much math.
It spits out. It is. It's math, but it, Magic is a game of math.
Oh,
so you know, it's
God,
the blockers.
It kills me.
But it spits out a number when you're done, and he said there's a range of numbers that sort of determine where your deck falls. And you know, Zakama is my most powerful deck. And he was like, yeah, anything over 13 is, or anything over 10 is CEDH. And Zakama clocked in at about a 7.5.
Yeah, and most of his decks he says are running 13. I'm like.
Yeah, he said, oh, the deck I posted was a 13.4. And that scared the hell
out of me. Yeah, it scared
me
too. We're like, and then he's asking.
Because Zakama.
And then what kills me is he's asking for our help. I'm like, motherfucker, I think you got this down.
Yeah, if he's pulling 13s and 14s, I mean,
to be quite honest, I'm going to hand you that channel. We're going to ask you questions.
Yeah, but you know, that was like, it was one of the things where I'm like, if Sakama is the strongest deck that I have, and Will has PTSD, and that deck's a 13, good lord.
Yeah.
But then
he's literally never invited to Commander Craft ever. He's like, I'm now a patron. I'm like, oh, well, shit.
Because like I had said before on stream once, Zakama can win on turn two in some magical Christmas land, one in a billion type situations. A lot of CDH decks can win turn zero.
Yeah, so.
So it all depends on, you know, what you're looking for. But it's like, I'm happy to see that Zakama is powerful and, because it's still a high-end deck. Which
and why
is.
Don't, you know, we get it all the time. Why don't you play CEDH on Commander Craft? The reason is, because it can win on turn zero. That's not good count. It's like, I win.
I mean, on the one hand, like, if we made a stipulation that the CDH decks have to be able to win at least on turn three, then what that would do is it would show decks doing ridiculous things and winning.
Right. We'd have to proxy. Like, you and I would have to.
Taint it.
We'd all have to proxy, but which we can do.
We'd probably have to proxy, which we can do. I mean, I probably still wouldn't, just because, you know, I have my own thing with proxies. I have no problem with them personally, but I just don't. I don't use them.
I think if we were doing a proxy game, you'd use them. I think if you knew we were all proxying.
I don't know. I mean, I'd probably bring Zakama and see what happened.
That's good to know. So, like I said, please go to the Discord, discord.planestalkerspodcast.com. Go to the Deck Help channel. There's tons of good stuff in there. What we really wanted to do for Main 2 tonight is that many of you know we do a win-a-box, which Kerwin's provides, our sponsor. And as far as I know, they're still providing one. I do, you know, we're going to double-check. But for Kamigawa, you know, many of you have said that you're very unhappy with how Arena has handled Historic as far as Alchemy goes. And that you're not sure if, you know, you even want to log into Arena anymore. Some of you have even said, I don't log into Arena. So I guess my question is, for those of you listening, for those of you watching right now, so for right now, feel free to pop it into the chat and it'll throw on screen, but I'm probably going to put a poll in our Discord because it's very important to me that we figure, you know, for the win-a-box, I mean, that's such a great prize that Kerwin's gives us. And I love them for it. It's really great. And we've always made it fun. I mean, other than the first time, which literally the first time I did a share this out, do this, do that. And if you do all of those, then we'll put you in a drawing. And it seems awfully cheesy. I love the idea more of you know, win a box type of, you know, college basketball tournament style. So yeah. I want to keep kind of trying to do that, but how do people feel? First of all, how do you feel about Arena? Do you feel like we need to stay there? Or here's the thing. For this, for the winner boxes from Kerwin's, I really feel very strongly because they are a premier wizard, you know, they're a premier store, that, you know, we can't do something like, what's the name of that program? Cockatrice. We can't do. Now, Dave has said for Flight, so for Commander Craft, we can get a little creative. But for this, I don't want to risk Kerwin's premier status. So I'm not going to. So we have to stay with officially WotC-sanctioned stuff, whether it's playing paper, whether it's playing MTG. So really, the choices are MTGO, MTG Arena, or somehow using Spell Table. That's it. I don't want to use Spell Table because, not that any of us would, not that any of us do, because we do play Spell Table every week, but let's face it, okay? There have been times where Aramis and I have been on broadcasts and thought to ourselves, you know, like,
Things
look shady. Yeah, and so when something's on the, and that's just for bragging rights, when something's on the line, okay? Oh, how about giving away choices to come up and meet you guys and play? Oh, dude, we could talk about that offline. Like, yeah, no. Yeah, we've got options for that. But as far as this goes, I mean, for the Kerwin's box, I mean, this has to be virtual. I mean, I don't think we'd have enough people trying to come up to play at Kerwin's. I don't know. I mean, that's an option. Well, and then in coronavirus,
that's a COVID thing.
I wouldn't make anybody come to New York State right now. So, you know, because of coronavirus and Omicron and
That's a great idea for a pre-COVID world, maybe post-COVID. But while this thing's still going on, I mean, that's a great idea. But I think right now, just the chance that someone inadvertently.
Yeah, if I found out somebody got or somebody got it from somebody else, you know, even at the hotel they were staying at or something, you know, something, I would feel horrible. So, I mean, here's the thing. Magic Arena, you know, the cost to getting a deck is relatively easy.
Well,
yeah, but MTGO, MTGO is, you know, you can get a rental account for 19. I guess what I'm wondering is, how do people feel? Like, because we could do MTGO, we could do Commander and MTGO. Like, we could go full-blown.
We could do any format. You could do Pauper, you could do Artisan, you could do
Modern. We could do
Pauper.
You know, we haven't done...
Vintage, Legacy.
We haven't done Pauper in Arena in some time. It's been a while. So, well, I don't think we ever did Pauper. We did Artisan.
We've done Artisan. We've never done Pauper.
I don't know that we'd want to do Pauper, would we? I mean, I feel...
Is that even supported?
Well, no. They'd have to make Pauper decks. They would have to be historic Pauper.
Right.
Which brings us into Alchemy again. But, I mean, they may not change a lot of commons. So...
No, but they're still digital exclusives.
So that's what
you would still need. You would definitely need wild.
That's what we're putting out there. All right. So this will be kind of a discussion. I want to move it to the Discord. I want to have it these next couple of weeks, because we want to be able to announce something right when they start previews. I imagine, you know, we filled up a 32-person one last time. I doubt we will this time. It really depends on, you know, I think a lot of people were, I don't know. I think people were really excited. People like, I wanted to do Historic Brawl again the way we did it. I wanted to do it with one commander in the entire tournament. So if somebody takes Omnath, nobody else can use Omnath as their commander. You can use it in the 99. What do we call that? Historic or legendary historic brawl? Something to that effect? Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
and we could do that.
That would still work if enough people were okay with alchemy. But the problem is there is more than a vocal minority that, I mean, myself included, who think that having the alchemy cards and the alchemy changes affect historic is a bad idea. That being said, I have heard some grumblings that potentially, I mean, take this with a mountain of salt, that WotC has been hearing the complaints and may potentially be updating it so that alchemy is standard only. I doubt that will actually happen, but I have heard a couple things here and there on the periphery where this might be a thing.
Interesting. You guys could go back to doing the EDHs and using the Five of an Elder Dragons. That would mean MTGO, though. That's a cost of entry for a lot of people. And that's barrier.
Battlecruiser
Magic.
That's
a barrier for a lot of people. That's just it. We get this box for free. Kerwin's is out of the kindness of their heart. They give it to us. I would feel bad about making somebody spend what they, you know, because then they can go out and buy a box. Like, you know, it's one thing asking them to spend a couple on wild cards or, you know, if they're going to go and do a here's the thing. MTGO rentals are a thing. And, you know, if you spend $20 in 1 month and maybe you sign up for, I don't know if they have free trials or not, but, you know.
I don't know about that. I don't know if they have free trials, but I do know that it's as far as, like, if you were doing this on a regular basis and you're going to formats like, you know, Legacy or Vintage, it's, like, you know, stupid cheap compared to paper. But, again, you're right. It is a barrier to entry. And for some people, the $20 is just too much.
Right. So it's something to think about. We need to kind of.
We got some discussions.
So we're gonna move that to. Let's move this to the Discord, okay? Discord.planestalkerspodcast.com. If you don't want to be on our Discord, I totally understand that. Some people are like Discord. I'm afraid. Fine. Then, at the end of the show, we'll give you our email addresses. Email us. Like this is very important. This tournament is yours. I want it to be successful. I'm just against doing PC Magic. I'm a fat man that loves feeling the paper. Oh, we are with you 100% criminal. We really are. But we've done it now, what, 4 or 5 times?
It's been going really well with Arena. It's the that was one of the things that kind of hurt me the most when they did Alchemy and did the changes that the way that they did, because I was like, I knew our winner box, like the last two times we did it, it was really popular.
Well, they loved Historic Brawl. It felt like they loved Historic Brawl. Yeah. They really did. It was close.
And I think like if we were able to do Commander, like if it was on MTGO and there was no cost to entry and we were able to do Commander, I think that would be even more popular. Unfortunately, not everybody has MTGO. MTGO is a dinosaur program. There's nothing that guarantees that the friggin' thing won't just crash every time.
Well, I think, too, I think it would be okay.
Although a lot of that can be said of Arena, too, so...
Yeah, untap, and here's the problem, Smooth. Again, it's not supported by Wizards, and Kerwin's is a premier site. They're a premier store.
Yeah.
So I don't want to put them in the position where they're... Where we're you know, advertising that they are sponsoring a tournament in a non-sanctioned platform.
And no worries, it's, man.
No reason to apologize. Again, you know, Commander Craft, which is our second show, it's no longer a part of this show. Commander Craft is its own thing. That store that sponsors that is not a premier store, and they're far more open. So...
Yeah, and there may not be anything wrong with it, per se.
But I haven't talked to Kerwin's, and I don't want to put them in the position to have to tell us, because
it's a non-zero chance.
Yeah, and Kerwin's has been amazing to us. The one thing that they are our sponsor of this show. No matter, you know, like I said, Flights handles Commander Craft, but Kerwin's is our sponsor. Kerwin's is where Aramis and I really do enjoy playing, and as well as Flights. So. But the point I'm making there is Kerwin's from day one that they've sponsored us, which was year one, they came to us and said, we're not going to tell you how to do your thing. We're going to give you a box. You can give it away however you want. It's on Aramis and I don't want to put them in the position to have to come to us and say like, hey, listen, you know, if WotC found out, I mean, we're just a small little bumpkin podcast. So we're not on anybody's radar, but
that can be all it takes.
And then all of a sudden, I'm putting this really great store that I love in trouble. So we got to keep it kind of in the, you know, in the realm of, up and up.
So, on the up and up. Because it's like I said, it could be fine, but there's a non-zero chance that
so
it's not.
That's where we're going to need you guys to come in and tell us what you want to do, how we want to do this. So again, I'll put this out in the Discord. I will, you know, at the end of the podcast here, you guys will hear how to email us. Please do so. We'd very much like to hear what you guys want to do. But with that in mind, I guess we've said everything we need to say, Aramis, right? So let's go to...
End step.
Well, as Aramis and I start rolling up our playmats, putting our cards back in the boxes, taking the pizza boxes over to the trash, because damn it, your mother still does not work in this Camelot music store, we want to remind you guys that we have a Twitch channel where we stream all sorts of content. Just look up the Planestalkers podcast channel on Twitch. There you'll see the shows we do on both Magic as well as other geeky games. I'm on there quite a bit playing Minecraft or sometimes Farming Simulator, which I got 2022 version. You know, and stuff like that. You can also follow me on Twitch at Mindcrime73, where I've even started playing DC Universe Online again. So that's kind of cool. Check it out.
That is pretty cool. And if you'd rather interact with us in a more real-time fashion, you can do what some of our listeners have done tonight. Join our Discord. It's discord.planestalkerspodcast.com. A great community there, not just during the winner box, which, by the way, if you want to join that, you have to be a part of our Discord.
And we're not doing, by the way, let me put that out there. One thing, we're not doing that to be dicks. Okay. We're not making you join it. It's just so much. We use a bot to handle the tournament. So it's so much easier. That's all.
A bot. Yeah. How dare you? You're here over here squishing all these other bots, but this bot. Okay.
I love that bot. He's our friend.
Yeah. That bot's a good bot. Good bot. But yeah, discord.planestalkerspodcast.com, great community. They talk about all kinds of things, Magic, other games, stuff that's going on in the world, you know, just all sorts of good stuff. Great people there. If you'd rather follow us on Twitter, if that's more your speed, we usually just tweet if we're going live.
Six bots now, and the Discord bot counts.
Oh, Discord bot counts. Okay. Well, Discord bot counts, but he got grandfathered in, so he's okay.
We like him.
Yeah, so he's all good. So yeah, you want to find us on Twitter at Planes Talker Pod.
And my personal Twitter is at WR Benson. Now, I don't tweet there a ton. I might step it up a little bit now that we're on the Geek to Geek, and that's kind of how people do stuff. But
I may have to get my own.
Whoa!
I don't know. I'm thinking about it.
Dude, you can use Planes Talker Pod as your Twitter, man. I'm all right with that. So.
Oh, that's both of us. I think I got to find one that's adjacent, so that way if we're saying something that's the podcast,
Armac, I'll bet you Armac WRK is out there. So just but also you can always follow us on Facebook. Just you know, if you don't know how to use Facebook, just go ask your parents, because Lord knows they do. Go to facebook.com/planestalker. We try to get Planes Talkers, but some airplane enthusiast took that from us, and I don't like him. And like and follow our page there. Don't forget as well, we have a playcast we do on Wednesdays where we play Paper Commander Live. It's called Commander Craft. So tune in on all of our channels Wednesdays around 7 Eastern. And if you'd like to play, let us know through Discord.
Yep, I think I am the returning champion for this Wednesday. I'll be bringing back Niv-Mizzet Powrun, so keep that in mind to anybody who wants to join.
I think I might bring Dragons again. I like playing that deck. I didn't get much of a chance to play it last week.
Yeah, yeah. And then finally, if you'd like to send us an email, there are 3 different email addresses you can use to get in touch with us. You can use that if you have a question about the show and you don't happen to be on the Discord or Twitter or whatever. And maybe you had like a suggestion for something we can talk about. It could be a deck tech, or just tell us how, you know, how good of a job we're doing. The main email address for the podcast is podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com. If you'd like to email Will personally, his email address is will@planestalkerspodcast.com. If you'd like to get in touch with me, the email address is Aramis, A-R-A-M as in Michael, I, S as in Sam, @planestalkerspodcast.com.
Finally, we want to remind you, we do have a place. If you'd like some Planes Talker swag, go to store.planestalkerspodcast.com. And don't forget, we are a part of the Geek to Geek Media Network, geektogeekmedia.com. But on that note, we want to thank you guys for hanging out and being with us tonight. It's good to be back doing the regular show. We will be back on Wednesday for Commander Craft. Tune in then. We're going to be playing Niv-Mizzet and a bunch of other decks, as well as next Monday, we're back doing this show live. So thank you very much for starting us off on Season 4 right. For Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying thanks for being listeners. Thanks for hanging out. Reminding you to keep some of your mana untapped, because you never know when you'll need it. Take care and have a great week. Bye-bye.